Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're still reading through the book of Deuteronomy. We're on chapter 9. And we're going to ask the Lord to anoint every word that's read here, the translation, and all commentary. And let me hear the header on this again.
The victory when they're crossing into Canaan land, the victory by God's power. A lot of people would say today, by God's grace. Grace means power.
And then the first verse.
Hear, O Israel, today you are about to cross the Jordan River to occupy the land belonging to nations much greater and more powerful than you. They live in cities with walls that reach the sky. This is symbolism,
reaching the sky, walled cities that reach the sky. This is symbolic of just what, I say?
Reaching the sky means very tall.
It just means tall. The walls were about 50 feet high, some of them. That's pretty tall. That's five stories high. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and so, Father God, well, first of all, I'm going to ask you people, how do you get saved? Anybody here know how to get saved? In a nutshell? How you find life? Nobody knows. Gosh, there's a lot of people here, too. Huh? You get your sins taken away by the blood of the Lamb, but how do you get saved? How do you find life?
Christ.
What do you mean, through Christ?
You go to Him for forgiveness.
You go to Him for forgiveness? Well, there's more to it than that, isn't there?
Yes, you have to repent of your sins and confess them.
You have to confess and forsake your sins? Yeah, that's part of it. But what's the most important thing?
To become a new creature.
To become a new creature. But what's the most important thing? How do you do that?
By the Lord entering into your heart.
But how do you say that in a nutshell? The way you get saved, Jesus said, was to know the Father. Because, you know, Jesus says to all these false Christians when they're standing at the judgment of our God, and he says also to know Him that the Father has sent, to know Jesus. Because a lot of people that say they're Christians, they say they came to Jesus, they say they got saved, washed in the blood of Jesus and everything. They never knew the Father. Amen?
Amen.
And they never knew Jesus. I turn to chapter 17 of John and read verse 3. To know the Lord. All these people go up before the Lord. They think they're Christians, that they did a great and mighty work for Him. And Jesus says, I never knew you. So being saved is you have to know the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's how you get saved. How do you find life? How do you get life? It's just know the Father and know Him whom the Father has sent, Jesus. Well, how do you know the Lord? We know that He, these people that say that God is just all love, do they know the Father? No, they don't know His personality, do they?
No.
And they think that they can sin. They don't know the Father, do they?
No.
How come they think they can sin? If you knew the Father, like I know the Father, you know you can't sin. You got to know Him. Amen?
Amen.
And you got to know Him who He sent. You can't know the Father unless you know the Son. Right?
Right.
Okay, read verse 3, chapter 17.
And this is life eternal.
And this is how you get life eternal. This is how you get life eternal. This is life eternal. This is life eternal. What? How? What is it?
That they might know Thee, the only true God.
That they might know God. Know Him. Amen?
Amen.
The true God, the only true God. Then what?
And Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent.
And they have to know Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that it?
Yes.
That's in a nutshell. How to have life. Amen?
Amen.
How do you know that you have life? Because you know the Father. And you know the Father by His Word. You say, if I sin, my Father tells me I'm going to go to hell in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
And if I join up with the New World Order, the One World Government, and the media, and the cult, the whore of Revelation, the mother of every abomination on earth, then you don't know the Father very good because He's going to utterly destroy you forever for that. So the important thing is to know the Father. Not just coming to him for the blood to get your sins washed away. That's, of course, you know, if you know the Father, you know that. Amen?
Amen.
And what was the other things that you said to get saved?
To repent.
To repent. Saved. Well, you know that. But to just to say it in a nutshell is know the Father and the Son. Amen?
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
Then you know all that stuff, all right? That's it in a nutshell. Just know the Lord every day. And if you know the Lord, you know you got to stay in the Spirit all day long. Amen?
Amen.
So that in itself is a meal in itself, you know, a spiritual meal, right?
Right.
Just know the Father. How can it get more simple than that? Read it again.
And this is life eternal.
Yeah, this is the way you get life eternal. This is life eternal. It's just what?
That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
Yeah. Okay, do you have it? Did you type that up yet, chapter 17?
Yes.
Okay, can you find verse 3 in there and bring it over here? Because I translated that down just about the way I'm saying it now. And give it to her.
And this is the way to have eternal life.
And this is the way to have eternal life. What?
To know you, the only true God.
This is Jesus' song, to know you. Jesus says, and this, read that again, this is what?
This is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth.
That's simple, isn't it?
Yes.
No, all you got to do is read the Bible to know him, because he is the word, amen?
Amen.
And so if you know him, you know you better not get in trouble, like Ilana, Roxanne, Rocky, and Billy. They don't know the Lord. See, that's why I said, if they're saved, you can't be walking around the church with an attitude and be like cold staring people and jeopardizing people's lives and going into places and wanting to kiss people. You don't know the Lord. Because don't you know the Lord is going to destroy you? And what I'm doing is chastening you. So you can't go we have to have special classes for you. The girls have to be in a Sunday school type thing in the mornings, and in another place, the boys have to be separated completely from services, and they have to go to Sunday schools in the morning or afternoon someplace, all right? And somebody has to be know the Father enough to know that you're going to have to do this, amen?
Amen.
You're going to have to take them and do it, because that's how you have, that's what life, read it again. From my exhortation.
And this is the way to have eternal life.
You want to have eternal life, kiddies? You want to have it, then you got to know the Father. And the things that shows me that you don't know the Father or the Son, because you're doing things that they say for you not to do. You people that lie, you don't know the Father. You don't know him because you take his word lightly. It hasn't sunk into you yet. You people that like to fornicate, or even in your mind, and commit adultery in your mind, or to lust after anything in this world, you don't know the Father, and you don't know the Son, because they don't put up with that. Amen?
Amen.
Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one, and they don't put up with that. They send your soul to hell. So you got to learn the, you got to know the Father. You don't want him to stand in front of you at the judgment bar of God and say, I never knew you. And it's obvious you never knew me. Amen?
Amen.
Is that a good message, right? This
yes.
is right straight from the Bible, man. Read it again.
And this is the way to have eternal life.
But did you want eternal life? Keep it. Go ahead. This is the way to have eternal life. Simple.
To know you.
Hickory, dickory, dock. This is the way you do it. 1, 2, 3. Okay, not 1, 7, 8, right?
Right.
Or 12, 14, 2, all right? This is, what was it again?
And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth.
Simple, huh?
Yes.
And when I see people doing things that the Lord doesn't go for, I just say, you don't know the Lord. In other words, you're not saved. He's going to say to you, depart into everlasting darkness. There's going to be weeping and gnashing on your teeth. You have to do what he says. Otherwise, you think he's a joke. You're the joke. Amen?
Amen.
You're the stinking joke. All right, Father, we thank and praise your holy name Because, you know, a lot of people just like to read the words, like they're reading the Reader's Digest or the Saturday Evening Post or the morning newspaper. And there's no fear mixed up with what they're reading to do what you say. They don't know you well enough to know that if they forget you and forget to know you and to forget that you are a God of wrath and you're a God, you're a terrorist to those that don't love you and keep your commandments. You love those that love you and keep your commandments, but you sure don't love them. And so they don't know you very well. Read that again here. They don't know you.
And this is the way to have eternal life.
This is a way to go to the candy store and get, you know, a Snickers candy bar or an all-day sucker. Okay, you just go down to the candy store, right? You know how to get there, don't you? Mm-hmm. Maybe you live out in the country and you don't. But maybe your mother buys candy. You got a little box of candy somewhere in the house. And this is how you get the candy. You go to the candy box, right? Or this is the way you go to get some ice cream or milk. You go to the freezer or the refrigerator, right? Okay, well, this is the way to have eternal life. Okay, then what? How is that?
To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth.
Amen. Now then, so Father, we pray that people will not read you like the morning newspaper or the evening newspaper, or listen to people on television telling all their twisted versions of what they say is happening, this propaganda that they're saying over television and radio and on the printed page, but that people will read your word so that they can know you. And what good is it to study physics and all algebra and all the other things when that isn't going to give them eternal life? We have to know you and you alone to know how to raise horses and cows and pigs and chickens and ducks and geese and all the other things and rabbits. That isn't going to, they might learn to all about a cow or a chicken, but to have eternal life. Now that they can do that and they can have all these different things, but they can't have life. To have eternal life, they have to know you. So, Father, we pray that in this chapter, chapter 9 of Deuteronomy, that you will pour out your spirit, you'll anoint it, and bring more life, bring more knowledge of you, to know you, and the word Jesus, so that people can have more of you, more life, because you are the life also. You are eternal life, and if we have you, and we know your word, we know how to stay out of trouble. We know how to please you. Of course, there's a lot of rebellious people, like the children, some of the children in the church, that and their parents never chasten them or make them do what the Lord says for them to do. And so they wind up going to hell in the lake of fire. And the parents are going to be responsible for it. They're going to go into the pit of hell also in the lake of fire, for not chasing their children enough to where it means something to them. So you parents don't know the Lord very well either. You don't know him at all. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know the Father. Lord, let them again, I say, let them learn of you. Because you're meek and lowly. You did what the Father said. And if they have to be meek and lowly like you to do what the Father said too, if they expect to be in your body and in the kingdom of heaven on the last day. In Lord, we ask that you teach us all that. Teach everyone that, Lord, that hears this tape. And don't let them falter from it. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen. Okay, so go ahead and let's start reading chapter 9, verse 1.
Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself.
But the Lord, see, to know the Lord, you know that he's going to go in before you. He said it. So you don't have to worry. They're bigger and greater. But they're not bigger than God. And he said he's the one that's going to go in there and take care of them. Amen?
Amen.
So you don't worry. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Lord wants you to know. Know me, he says, you know, I'm God. And he keeps saying it all the way through. Now you're weak, he says. I am weak, but you are strong. Amen?
Amen.
And back there he says, destroy the Amorites for me. You know, they could say that, right?
Right.
And the Pezerites, oh Lord, let it be. I know it will be, because I know you. And I know you're going to destroy all the armies, so all the armies in the world come against us. I know you. And that's how I have life, to know that you're in charge. Amen?
Amen.
You're the one that is over everyone, and you are the one that will destroy all those that don't love you and keep your commandments, that don't know you. To not know the Lord, I mean, you just do anything you want. You get attitudes. You march around the church. People say something to you, just or look at you and ask you a question. You just dummy up and don't say anything. You don't know the Lord. You don't have life. That's how you have life, is to know the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hello there. Okay, then what?
Cities great and fenced up to heaven. Verse 2.
No, read this thing again, okay. Because... Hello there, you with the stars in your eyes. Okay, because you may have some visions of grandeur, but you have to know the Lord. There's no other way you're going to get in. Amen?
Amen.
That's how you have eternal life. Then what? Come on, read that little verse.
Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself.
Yeah.
Cities great and fenced up to heaven.
Mm-hmm. But the Lord knocks the fences down. Amen? And the walls. The walls, he knocks them down. Remember, you ever hear that? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls come tumbling down? Did Joshua do that?
No.
No, all he did is march around for 7 days and then they screamed. They yelled and blew a trumpet, you know, and it came down. The God did that. Amen?
Amen.
They didn't open up the Red Sea. God did that. Amen?
Amen.
And that nation was much more powerful. They were just a bunch of slaves. But they, Moses knew the Lord. And they should have known him by seeing all the things that he did to those idol worshippers over there. And the Lord delivered them. Amen?
Amen.
That's quite a thing to remember all the time, because he's the same God. And, you know, we face a greater foe than little, a bunch of small black people, the Egyptians. Amen?
Amen.
Little tiny guys. You know? There's some big Zulus over there now, you know? Zulus and, you know, Ubangis, all these kind of guys, plus all the nations of the world, the United Nations. That's what the Goliath is today. But you think God, if you know him, do you think he can handle them? You think he can put them in their place?
Yes.
I do too. Praise. So that's what faith is. Amen?
Amen.
Is to know that even though we're fewer and weaker, and we're the minority, but with God, we're the majority. Amen?
Amen.
With the Lord, we are the majority. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 I don't have to go, and he's this, and he's that, like you see guys on television. No, that isn't the Lord. I'm telling you just, you know, straight out, okay? Without all the huffing and puffing. Then what?
Verse 2. A people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak?
Yeah, and they're also saying, who can stand against this one world government? Amen?
Amen.
Who can stand against the beast? Who can make war with the beast? Well, I want you people to know the Lord, so I want you to know that the Lord is easily make war with them. I mean, he gives them so much time to repent and everything, because he could squash them like a grape in a second. Amen?
Amen.
All he's got to say is be destroyed. Jesus, when they were coming to get him, he says, whom seekest thou? And they said, Jesus. And he says, I am he. And they all fell down on their backs. Amen?
Amen.
Just demonstrating a little bit of his power. Amen?
Amen.
Could the Lord cause all the United Nations armies and everything to fall down on their backs? Right. And he could have them dissolve right before everybody's eyes. So he that is with us is more powerful than him that is in the world. I know God. I know that He can do that. Amen?
Amen.
He can do it!
Amen.
Not if he tries. He doesn't have to try. He just has to say the words. He, when he spoke, the whole universe came into existence. Let there be light. Wham! There's light. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Just a word from our Lord. Know God, you know, because that's the way to life. Know him that he does stuff like that. Okay? And he doesn't get old like we do. The Bible says that he abides. In other words, he lives forever. and those that are in him and that know him live forever also. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 3. Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee.
Yeah, he's going before you. He's not going to hide, you know, behind a rock. You guys can hide behind a rock, you know, but he won't like that either, because he wants you to stand upright and just go into battle, because he's in front of the battle. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
As a consuming fire, he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down.
He says he shall destroy them. Now, you know the Lord, that's part of knowing the Lord. You know that he destroys our enemies, okay?
Amen.
Isn't that good to know him?
Amen.
Okay, that's how to have life. Know the Lord. Know what he's capable of doing. Know not only what he's capable of doing, but it's what he says he will do. Amen?
Amen.
And he did it. And he keeps doing it for people that love him and keep his commandments. All right? Then what?
And he shall bring them down before thy face.
Right in front of your eyes. Then what?
So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee.
Not slowly, but quickly. That's what the Lord says. Know that. When he says something, that's the way it is, kiddies. All right? Then what? And you see, that's why people say I'm so arrogant. No, I'm this way because I know God. I've got God. Amen?
Amen.
Try me and see. I've been tried. I've been tested. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And all the time I was being tested and tried, I knew God. All right? I knew he's going to deliver me. Praise the Lord. Then what else?
Verse 4. Speak not thou in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land.
No, the Lord wants you to know that too. Not because of you. Only because you keep the commandments of the Lord will he do that, and only because he loved your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen?
Amen.
Because you people, you know, he's trying to warn you by keeping you out there for a couple of years. Then you made him get more angry, and he kept you up there for another 38 years because you wouldn't go on and possess the land like he said that he would give you if you just go in there and not be afraid and be very courageous, because I'm going before you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Verse 5. Not for thy righteousness
now,
or...
See, you think the Lord goes for wickedness in the New Testament too?
No.
He says, if you sin, you're going to hell. All these sinners are going not only to hell, but to the lake of fire, and they're going to be... Their smoke and torment is going to go up forever. Know that, idiots out there in la-la land. Amen?
Amen.
Know that. You sin and you're going to go up in smoke forever. Okay? If you know that, you know the Lord. And if you know that, then you fear the Lord so much that you're not going to cross that line. Jesus drew a line in the sand, you know. You can't cross over it. That's the borderline, you know. He hates sin so much that he let his only beloved son, his only begotten beloved son, die so that we could avoid hell. If we just get to know him, we'd know that we can't sin, Old or New Testament. You could more in the Old Testament because you could be forgiven several times, but in the New Testament, the Lord forgives you. He says, all men have sinned and have come short of the glory of God, so everyone has to get their sins washed away, their old, former sins. And then he says, now, go and sin no more. How they take that scripture, though, and make it look like we're all sinners and we're never going to be anything else. But he says, no, we were sinners, but now we're new creatures. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we are today, if you're saved. And he says, woe be to you if you go back into sin, a life of sin, because I want you to know this. I want you to know that God, and God said it, no matter what all these false prophets tell you, or all these immature, supposed to be teachers and preachers, are telling you that they've never known the Lord themselves, that the Lord will not allow you to sin and get into heaven. And he's no respecter of persons. And I know that when you know that, then you know another part of the Lord. There's a lot to know about the Lord. He's not just like a picture or something that you look at on the wall. He's got a lot to him, and we got to know him all, every bit of it. Matthew, is your headache still gone? Yeah, Matthew was really crying just a few minutes ago in his room, and they asked me, he's crying, he's like in the restroom and just really crying because he's got a headache. And I went, whoa. I just went in there and touched him, and asked, and the Lord came down and touched him. So I said, I don't have a headache anymore, okay, right?
Right.
Your head still feel good? Yes. That happens all the time with all kinds of different diseases,
amen,
infirmities and everything. We see the Lord heals. He saves and he heals. But he wants you to know him before he does all these things for you. How do you get saved? Amen? This is the way to life. Know the Lord. Okay, you know him a little better tonight?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, every time you hear the word, you know him more, don't you?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So that's more life that was added to you today. That's why you feel so good and you smile and laugh and everything after a service. It's because you know more of the Lord. And the Lord is good. Unless you cross his path and start thinking that he's just bojive like you are. And that you can, you know, your mother tells you this and you do it and she doesn't punish you. And so you just think everything is jive. But no, when you know the Lord, you know he's not jive. We're well into the tribulations now, in case a lot of people don't know it. There's all kinds of kids that got cancer, leukemia, there's drought, there's pestilence, there's so many bugs and everything and bacteria that they haven't got no cure for it. The world is finished. And each day that goes by, more and more of the plagues of the Lord are being poured out. You got to know that. If you don't know that, then you don't know the Lord either. That's another side of him. He says, I'll pour out all these plagues on the earth in the last days because they don't know me. If they knew me, they'd keep my commandments. Amen?
Amen.
And if you keep his commandments, I'll tell you, he just showers all kinds of gifts and blessings upon you. Plus, he gives you immortality, eternal life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Not, praise the Lord, but praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
With understanding. Because you understand who he is. I mean, I could never picture Jesus going, and I tell you this, you know, I could never picture Jesus doing that. I think I'd lose all respect for him if he did that. Amen?
Amen.
He's foaming at the mouth and everything else, like some of these supposed to be preachers do. All right? God is a sensible God. You can learn this word and know him sensibly by hearing straight Bible talk, amen, from God himself, from the Bible. All right, then what?
Verse 5, not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah, because he wants everybody to know he's the truth. He said it to them, and so he's going to do it. And it may have taken time because the Jews are hard-headed and stiff-necked and they didn't want to know him and they wanted to have a king. All kinds of different things later on. They want even kings and so on. But the Lord still, because he made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would give it to them, but he wouldn't give it to the ones that were unfaithful. He killed all of them except two. That's a good thing to know the Lord, too. And even before that, he drowned the whole world. Amen?
Amen.
That's a part of the Lord, too. You better know him. He's a no-nonsense God. No nonsense. He doesn't go for nonsense. Anything that don't make sense. Anything that doesn't make sense. Okay? Okay, amigo? All right, then what else?
Verse 6. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people.
Yeah, they're right.
Verse 7, remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst...
Wait a minute, provoke the Lord to wrath. You know what you mean to say that the Lord has wrath? Oh, we've learned something more about the Lord. Now we know even more of the Lord because we know he has wrath. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that good to know that he's not just a God of love, that he is a God of wrath? Now and he gets provoked. He gets uptight, in other words, in your language. Amen?
Amen.
God gets uptight. He gets provoked. Amen?
Amen.
And then that's no-no to get God provoked. And he gets angry. And then he starts terrorizing people. And then he starts frying them or drowning them
or whatever way he wants to do you. Yeah? That's good to know about him. That's the way he really is. Yeah, I mean, just you hear it in the Bible all the way through. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so just know him. That's the way to life. Amen? To have life. The way to have life is to know the Lord. Oh, my. What can the matter be? Johnny, so long at the stinking fair. Okay, forget about the fair. Know the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Excuse my bit here, you know, I like to put my two cents in every so often. Okay, then what?
From the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place, ye have been rebellious against the Lord.
And I said, no, why do you think they all died? Yeah, on the wilderness out there. They rebelled against God's word. They thought that he was just jive. Okay, then what?
Verse 8, also in Horeb ye provoked the Lord to wrath.
Again, God just provoked him to wrath a lot. Amen?
Amen.
I don't read much about him love and love, 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 love. But I hear a lot of provoking to wrath. Amen?
Amen.
And a lot of him threatening to kill. And not only threatening, but doing it. He went right through with it. Amen?
Amen.
He opened up the ground and swallowed them in. He let fire come down forth and consume a bunch of them. He goes right through with it, man. Mun, okay, Mun. Oh, God, I'm glad I know you. All right, praise the Lord. I'm glad I know that about the Lord because, you know, I might go out there like the rest of these people or, you know, like they're like little monkeys, you know. They're so stupid. All they want to do is swing. Okay, what else?
You provoked the Lord to wrath so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you.
What? The Lord destroy you? Read that again. I mean, I hear God is love all the time. You don't hear much of this. Go ahead.
Also in Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you.
Mm-hmm. That's knowing the Lord a little bit more, isn't it?
Yes.
My. And then what?
Verse 9, when I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. Verse 10, and the Lord delivered unto me 2 tables of stone, written with the finger of God. And on them was written...
The finger of God. Moses didn't write the law, God did. And he said it's a never-changing law. And that's the 10 commandments, and you got to obey them. If you want to know the Lord, you're going to know him real good one way or the other. If you don't do what he says, you're going to die and go to hell in this lake of fire. And if you know him and do what he says, then you're going to know him one way or the other. Okay? You're going to know the head side or the tail side. Amen?
Amen.
You can know him and be in a favorable way, or you can know him and be destroyed. If you just, on purpose, do the exact opposite of what he says. Well, I live a good life. There's no good life unless you do what the Lord says, all right? A good life is only doing what the Lord says. You try anything else and you just don't know the Lord, pal, all right? Sweetheart, okay? Oh, you don't like my delivery of the gospel. Oh, I just, you know, I don't care. I just wanted to hit home to you, Bunky, okay? I'm not like one of these, smooth-talking people that's trying to milk you for fun, so I don't want your money. I want you to get saved. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to know me, too. I don't want your filthy lucre. I don't want any part of you, either. I just want you to get saved. So don't go to my church. Keep going to those people that don't know the Lord. All right, what else?
The Lord delivered unto me 2 tables of stone, written with the finger of God. And on them was written, according to all the words which the Lord spake with you, in the mount out of the midst of the fire, in the day of the assembly. Verse 11, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights, that the Lord gave me the 2 tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. Translation, verse 1 through 11. Hear, O Israel, today you are about to cross the Jordan River to occupy the land belonging to nations much greater and more powerful than you. They live in cities with walls that reach the sky, !! This is symbolism. Reaching the sky means very tall, !! Verse 2, they are strong and tall descendants of the famous Anakite giants. You heard the saying, quote, who can stand up to the Anakites, !! Verse 3, but the Lord your God will cross over ahead of you like a devouring fire to destroy them. He will subdue them so that you will quickly conquer them and drive them out, just as the Lord has promised. Verse 4, after the Lord your God has done this for you, don't say to yourselves, quote, the Lord has given us this land because we are so righteous, exclamation mark. No, it is because the wickedness of the other nations that he is doing it. Verse 5, it is not at all because you are such righteous, upright people that you are about to occupy their land. The Lord your God will drive these nations out ahead of you only because of their wickedness and to fulfill the oath he hath sworn to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 6, I will say it again. The Lord your God is not giving you this good land because you are righteous, for you are not. You are a stubborn people. Remembering the golden calf. Verse 7, quote, remember how angry you made the Lord your God out of the wilderness. From the day you left Egypt until now, you have constantly rebelled against him. Verse 8, remember how angry you made the Lord at Mount Sinai, where he was ready to destroy you. Verse 9, that was when I was on the mountain receiving the tablets of stone, inscribed with the covenant that the Lord had made with you. I was there for 40 days and 40 nights, and all that time I ate nothing and drank no water. Verse 10, the Lord gave me the covenant, the tablets on which God himself had written all the words he had spoken to you from the fire on the mountain. Verse 11, at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord handed me the 2 stone tablets with the covenant inscribed on them, unquote. King James Version, verse 12. And the Lord said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves.
Yeah, see, God has a bird's eye view of everything. He saw what they were doing. Moses couldn't see it. Amen.
Yeah.
God knew the Lord that well to know that he sees everything that's going on. And so he told him to get down there quickly. I remember when the Lord told me to get down quickly, I was up praying in the morning after I just got saved. The Lord told me that I was to be married to Sue, and there was somebody down there talking to her. I didn't know it, and was trying to talk her out of marrying me, and was using all kinds of different lies, all kinds of different things to tell her not to. And when I ran, he said, get down there quickly. So I ran down very quickly, and sure enough, I could hear her crying in her bedroom, because we all lived in that front part of her apartment. We're all new Christians, and she was teaching us. And so I knocked on the door, and she says, what is it? And I says, I'm coming in. And so I opened it, and here is this woman there telling her all kinds of things, and I told her to get out, and I told her that the Lord told me to hurry up and get down there. She'd never seen me that anxious before. So I know that the Lord had a bird's eye view of that. He saw right what was going on in that bedroom, in that apartment. And this always reminds me when I read this. So that's good to know the Lord like that, amen?
Amen.
Because you may think, he'll tell you, hurry and do something. And if he does, you better do it because there's a reason for it. Then what else?
Get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Verse 13, furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people.
See, that's against one of the 10 commandments that God wrote with his own finger. All right, and they don't know the Lord well. They didn't know him. They thought, well, you could listen to him with a half ear, just like you do other, that you do people. You know, you better know the Lord so you can have life. That's how to have life, is to know him. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 14, let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. Verse 15, so I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the 2 tables of the covenant were in my 2 hands. Verse 16, and I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. Verse 17, and I took the 2 tables and cast them out of my 2 hands, and brake them before your eyes. Verse 18, and I fell down before the Lord as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned, in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger.
See, Moses knew the Lord. He'd run interference for all, because he knew he was going to do it. So the Lord killed all of them, all right, but he took a little time to do it. Go ahead.
Verse 19, for I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. Verse 20, and the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him, and I prayed for Aaron also the same time. Verse 21, and I took your sin, the calf which ye had made, and burnt it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust, and I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. Verse 22, and at Taberah, and at Massah, and at Kibroth Hataavah, ye provoked the Lord to wrath. Verse 23.
So here's the Lord, wrath. Not just the God of love. He loves so much that he sent his only begotten Son, and he'll save your soul if you love him and keep his commandments. That's it. That's as good as it gets. Okay, then what?
Verse 23, likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Verse 24, ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Verse 25, thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, as I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said he would destroy you.
Okay, so Moses fasting and praying another without food and water for another 40 days because he was trying to get a hold of the Lord to stop him from destroying them all at once, because if they destroy him all at once, Moses figured he'd be all by himself. And so he talked the Lord into doing it gradually over the 40 years. Okay, now.
Translation verse 12 through 25. Then the Lord said to me, quote, go down immediately, because the people you led out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have already turned from the way I commanded them to live, and have cast an idol for themselves from gold. Unquote. Verse 13, quote, the Lord said to me, I have been watching this people, and they are extremely stubborn. Verse 14, leave me alone, so I may destroy them and erase their name from under heaven. Then I will make a mighty nation of your descendants, a nation larger and more powerful than they are. Verse 15, quote, so I came down from the fiery mountain, holding in my hand the two stone tablets of the covenant. Verse 16, there below me I could see the gold calf you had made in your terrible sin against the Lord your God. How quickly you had turned from the path the Lord had commanded you to follow! Exclamation mark. Verse 17, so I raised the stone tablets and dashed them to the ground. I smashed them before your very eyes. Verse 18.
In other words, it has to say, God no longer has a covenant with you. You don't have life anymore because you don't know him, and he's going to teach you about him. And he's going to use you to kill all of you slowly to show, to teach everybody else in the world that he's not a God to fool around with. Don't mess around with him. Okay, that's what he's going to do. So he killed them all to show everybody that he doesn't let people sin. And the law is not done away with. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it, to show people that it can be kept if the fullness of the Godhead bodily is living in you. That's what salvation is all about, is to know him. You can't know him unless you know his word and unless he's living inside of you by the Spirit. You read his word and you see his personality. What he likes and what he hates, and what he gets wrathful over, what he will destroy you over, to just not hear him. If you want to be healed and saved, and you want to have life more abundantly, and to be blessed and have abundance of everything in this world, and an abundant eternal life, then you better know him and do it. When you know him, don't shine him on, because you should. When you know him, you know better than that. You know better than that, unless you're just totally insane and like satanic, unless the devil himself is living in you, because the devil is insane. He's insane. Then what else?
Then for 40 days and nights I lay prostrate before the Lord, neither eating bread nor drinking water. I did this because you had sinned by doing what the Lord had hated, thus making him very angry.
The Lord hates and gets angry. There it is again, over and over and over in the Bible. That's what the trouble with the people are, is they don't want to know the Lord. They don't read his word. they can't know him because they don't read his word. Okay, then what else?
Verse 19, how I feared for you, for the Lord was ready to destroy you, but again he listened to me. Verse 20, the Lord was so angry with Aaron that he wanted to destroy him, but I prayed for Aaron and the Lord spared him. Verse 21, I took your sin, the calf you had made, and I melted it in the fire and ground it into fine dust. I threw the dust into the stream that cascades down the mountain. Verse 22, you also made the Lord angry at Taberah, Massa, and Kibroth Hatteava. Verse 23, and at Kadesh Barnea the Lord sent you out with this command, quote, go up and take the land I have given you, unquote. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God and refused to trust him or obey him. Verse 24, yes, you've been rebelling against the Lord as long as I have known you. Verse 25, that is why I fell down and lay before the Lord for 40 days and nights when he was ready to destroy you. King James Version, verse 26, I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Verse 27, remember thy servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin. Verse 28, lest the land whence thou broughtest us out say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Verse 29, yet they are thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest out by thy mighty power and by thy stretched out arm.
And now later the Lord, of course, killed all of them anyway, except two. So as I said, did it gradually, the Bible says. And now, translation.
Verse 26 through 29. I prayed to the Lord and said, quote, O sovereign Lord, do not destroy your own people. They are your special possession, redeemed from Egypt by your mighty power and glorious strength. Verse 27. Overlook the stubbornness and sin of this people, but remember instead your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 28. If you destroy these people, the Egyptians will say, quote, the Lord destroyed them because he wasn't able to bring them to the land he had sworn to give them, unquote. Or they might say, quote, he destroyed them because he hated them. He brought them into the wilderness to slaughter them, unquote. Verse 29, but they are your people and your special possession, whom you brought from Egypt by your mighty power and glorious strength.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter 9, Deuteronomy, and now we've got some commentary.
9, verse 4 through 6. The people of Israel are reminded three times that their righteousness was not the cause for their receiving the promised land. It was the faithful fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Chapter 9, verse 6 through 13. Quote, stiff-necked, unquote, can be translated as, quote, stubborn, unquote. In verses 7 through 14, Moses used the Mount Sinai experience to illustrate Israel's history of provocation, provoking the Lord and their unworthiness of themselves to receive the gift of the promised land.
So showing that God gets uptight. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Any claim to a state of self-righteousness on the part of the Israelites was misleading. 9 verse 7 through 8, quote, wrath, unquote, connotes judgment. In other words, that's what wrath means, is judgment.
Right. The Lord judged the world by drowning them all. He's judging the world that they're guilty of sin, and therefore he's going to burn the world. He's going to burn all sinners that are unrepentant sinners in the pit of hell and the lake of fire. And that's, he judges them that way. He tells us what his judgment is. All liars, fornicators, adulterers, all effeminate, all these different kind of people, all sinners shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. And their torment and smoke goes up forever. Torment that people, there's no ear, eye, or and your mind can't think of how horrible it is. It's got to be so horrible to actually God to come down in the flesh and die to try to avoid you from going there. It's just unimaginable. Just like heaven is unimaginable, so is the pit of hell and the lake of fire. You can't imagine it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of human beings, any man. how beautiful heaven is or how horrible hell in the lake of fire is. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I wouldn't have, you know, understood the weight of that unless I had heard the weeping and wailing and the shock of being there. Because they died suddenly. The Lord says he comes upon you like a thief in the night, and therefore you're surprised to be there, and you're also shocked that you're there, and you can't get out. Okay, then what else?
9, verse 9 and 25 refers to the same period of prayer when fasting. 9, verse 20, Moses' intercession for Aaron is not presented in Exodus. If Israel's high priest, who was guilty of making the golden calf, had to be spared from God's judgment of death, consider how dependent upon God's mercy the common people were. 9, verse 22, at Taberah the people complained of their difficulties and misfortunes. Numbers 11, verse 1 through 3.
Yeah, they were able to depend on God's mercy back then, but where is the mercy for sinners that disobeyed him? They all died and went on into eternity the wrong way. And the Lord shows us that his mercy is only there if we keep his commandments. But one beautiful thing about it is, that he lives in us to give us the strength to keep the commandments. And he will not tolerate anyone that doesn't know him. If you don't know him, then you don't have the power. You've got to have him in you. You got to know that. And you've got to seek him diligently if you want to find him. And if you want to find him out. If you want to know him. How do you have eternal life? How to have eternal life is to know the Lord God. Jesus Christ also. The Son of God. The Son of Man. Okay, the triune God. Okay, then what?
Kibroth Hatteva, quote, graves of craving, unquote, where God sent the quail as well as the great plague of judgment, quote, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craving, unquote.
Yeah, they lusted after flesh, okay, it's the birds. And so they craved certain things. And so he gave them graves for their craving. They doubted that he could give them meat. With their craving, they also craved to go back to sin. Yeah, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They didn't want to go into the promised land. They wouldn't. So it's bad to crave or to lust. Everything in the world is lust, amen?
Amen.
It's good to ask the Lord if you want something, but not to just lust after it to where you start calling God names. He can't do this and he can't do that. He buried them in the birds at least 3-4 feet high, amen?
Amen.
And the weasels just start picking the feathers off and gutting them and everything while they're standing in the midst of these stinking birds, dead birds, until they got so sick of it, it was like that was nauseating to them. Okay, then what?
That was in Numbers 11, verses 31 through 35. On Massa, see note on chapter 6, verse 16.
Yeah, the Lord killed him. Then what?
9, verse 3. This verse reminds us that if God is for us, who can be against us? God went ahead of his people to guide them and prepare the way for them. He destroyed Israel's national enemies. Is it too much to ask that God will vanquish the enemies in our life as well? No, God will vanquish them. All we have to do is ask. 9, verse 18 through 29. Moses prayed
to
God.
Well, but first before asking, you have to have kept his commandments. Amen?
Amen.
I'm speaking to really spirit-filled Christians that really know the Lord. They don't get involved in sin because they know him too well. They know they're going to die if they do. Then what?
Moses prayed to God, interceding for his people. In the process of becoming like Christ, we will experience times of temporary failure on the road to maturity. It is at these times that the intercession of God's people is valuable to our continued success. We have to intercede also for people. We need to build relationships of support that will result in this kind of intercession for us before God.
Yeah. No, we can intercede for people that sin. But if the Lord is already so angry with him that he's going to destroy him and not let him into the kingdom of heaven, if they're sinning, they don't know the Lord. When you're interceding for them, pray that God, that they'll get saved and that they'll know God, because they don't know him if they're sinning. Or else they know him and they don't care if they go to hell in the lake of fire, because they just don't realize how horrible it is. Well, that was chapter 9 of Deuteronomy and some commentary. So, like we said yesterday in the tape, remember the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
There's a lot of things that people try to remember, like they remember the Alamo and remember Pearl Harbor and all, but no, remember the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Don't lose sight of him. Don't forget him, because he said he'll tear you to pieces if you forget him. If you forget what he's like. Forget what he's like, you start living a careless life. Think about that. Ponder it. Meditate on it. So that you can live. So that you can have life. This is the way to life. Know the Lord, that all these things will happen to you if you will do what he says. You'll go to heaven. And you're going to be blessed. And know also that if you don't do what he tells you, you're going to be cursed for sure. And you're going to the lake of fire. So, it's wonderful to have the Word of God so that we can have the power to live another day. And don't let your mind wander off onto something else, like the people that are lost do. Keep the Lord on your mind. Put on the mind of Christ. Think about the Lord all the time, day and night. Meditate on him. And you won't have anything to worry about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and amen.